Psalm chapter 61. Thank you for turning with me there this evening. Last Sunday night we saw the first part of this message, the answer to a troubled heart. Psalm chapter 61. Let's read verses 1 to 8 as we begin, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm chapter 61, beginning in verse 1. David said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we thank you for your word that is divinely inspired of thee. And Lord, we thank you that you have given to us your word that we may learn what it is to live by faith. Lord, it is our prayer this evening that you would teach us your way. Father, show to us, Lord, the way of victory and the path of peace in the Christian life. Lord, we thank you for the example and testimony of David of old. Lord, thank you that we can be encouraged in your truth this evening. And Father, you know the needs of our heart. You know the greatest needs of our lives. And Lord, I thank you that your word is perfect. And Lord, your word is able to do your will and to remold and make us this evening for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be open to your truth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we noted last Sunday night, the psalm in chapter 61 was written by no other than King David himself. Now, he was not the king when he wrote this psalm. He, in fact, was on the run, and he was being persecuted by the current king, King Saul. And no doubt, this situation, being on the run, being almost facing the greatest fear of his life, the one that he looked up to, the one that he respected the most as king, had turned on him, now wanting to take away his life. No wonder we see in verse 2, David said, "When my heart is overwhelmed." And that word, of course, overwhelmed, means to be submerged, to be completely put under. And David knew what it felt like to be a believer in a time of crisis. Now, you may not face the same tragedies and trials that David faced, but no doubt as a believer we all face difficulties. We all face overwhelming situations. And as David faced these situations, we can be sure that you and I as Christians will face them as well. But thankfully, we do not face them alone. Amen? And that's what we learnt last Sunday as we looked at this psalm to begin with. David said, "Hear my cry, O," say it, "God." Hear my cry, O God. In his time of crisis and trial, David remembered God. David remembered though his mentor, his king, had turned against him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had not. He knew that God was his God. And with God on our side, as we learnt this morning, if God be for us, who can be against us? And it's so important as Christians to remember God. When our heart is overwhelmed, David said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And we were encouraged to last Sunday to remember God, to remember the fact that he is near. And he is not a God that is afar off. He is a personal God. He is our rock and our salvation. He is our deliverer. And we must remember the Lord. Remember that he is near and he is with us. I know it sounds obvious, But how often you and I forget the obvious. How often you and I focus on the problem, the one who's trying to do us harm, or the situation that seems to be harming us. And we focus on the problem and not the person of God and the promises of God. What is the answer to a troubled heart? Well, the answer is the Lord. The answer is putting our faith and living by faith. Not just saying that, but living by trusting in God Himself. And what an encouragement. David remembered God. Where we're going to continue this evening in verse number 3, notice David not only remembered God, but he remembered God's past protection. Notice the past tense that verse number 3 uses. David said this, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Now, would you agree, David wasn't talking about what God will do in the future. What was he talking about? What God has done in the past. Notice very carefully, God recorded in His Word this important truth that David remembered God's past protection. That means it's so important for you and I when we find ourselves in a present crisis to remember God's dealings with us in the past. You see, David was not saying that this was something he hoped God would do. He wasn't saying that I hope God will be a shelter for me. I hope He will protect me this time round. No, David was saying something that wasn't a hope or a wish, but it was a concrete fact. You see, he had seen God prove Himself faithful in the past with David. He had seen God's work in the past, and he knew that if God had done such wonderful things for him in the past, then how much more could he trust in the Lord for the future? "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." You know, as David was being chased by Saul, the sorrows of death compassed him about. In Psalm chapter 18, he said, "He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up from above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." David experienced God's deliverances. He experienced God's faithfulness. Now, I must apologize. In Psalm 61, he was fleeing from Absalom, his son, not from King David. And so when he said, "For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy," what he was remembering was God's deliverances in the past. He remembered that God had delivered him from King Saul. And now as he was fleeing from his only son who was trying to murder him, boy, did David go through the ringer. Did he experience some of the greatest trials that you and I will never know? But he remembered that, hang on a second, God has helped me in the past. That means He's going to help me in the present and He will help me in the future. God had already proved David that He is David's defense and shelter and strong tower from the enemy. And friends, when you and I are overwhelmed, it's so important that we remember God, but also we remember God's past protection. We remember God's past deliverance. That is how we can experience victory in the present during the time of trial. And if you are a born-again Christian this evening, you ought to know what David is speaking about in the Word of God. God, you have been a shelter for me. The Bible tells us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Lord comes to dwell within us, and we are a child of God, and He deals with us as His children, and we are beloved of God, and He protects us, He looks after us, He provides for us. You don't have to be a Christian for very long to look back across the path of your life, would you agree? And look back and say, "Wow, I remember when God did that. I remember when I was panicking and I was overwhelmed and I thought I was stuck, and how God miraculously, supernaturally, and unexpectedly and wonderfully delivered me." You see, it's easy for us to get stuck in the present, isn't it? Overwhelmed by the situation of the moment. But what about the past? What about what God has done for you? What about your salvation. Let me ask you this evening, has there been a time in your life that God delivered you from your sins? The Bible tells us that we owe a great debt to God, for the wages of sin is death. We are sinners by nature and by choice, and before a holy God, we owe Him a great debt, a debt we cannot pay, and the Bible tells us the payment for sin is death, an eternal separation in the lake of fire. You see, that is God's just judgment upon sinners like you and I. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But thank God, though His law must be satisfied by justice upon sin, God's love was satisfied by taking upon Himself the justice due for our sins. The Bible tells us wonderfully, does it not, that God is our rock and our deliverer. He is our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross to pay for your sins and mine, so that we may be delivered. So that we may be delivered from sin, delivered from the penalty of sin, delivered from the punishment of sin. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, my friend. He didn't die as an example of a good teacher. He didn't die so that you and I could hope that one day we'll get to heaven or that we can be forgiven in this life. No, God wants us to know for sure. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Friend, do you know? Do you know as a concrete, sure fact that you have eternal life? Can you look back across the history of your life and pinpoint a specific time when you repented of your sins and you chose to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior once and for all? I trust you do. I trust you can remember a time that you were delivered. Friend, if you are a Christian tonight, all you need to look back is at that date of salvation, that wonderful moment of salvation where Christ saved you. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." So based upon His power to save and forgive us, we trust in His past action and we have hope for the future of our faith. That's why we have hope in the future, because of Christ's work in our lives in the past. You see, it's so important to remember His past protection and deliverances. How many of you are thankful this evening for the ways that God has intervened and stepped into your life and answered your prayers and delivered you in the past? How many of you can look back at perhaps even before you became a Christian and how God kept you alive so that you didn't die and fall headlong into the fiery pit of the lake of fire? How many of you are thankful that God did not allow you to lose your life before the time of salvation? What a wonderful Savior we have. What a merciful God that we have. So as a Christian, having received Christ as Savior, as one of His very own children now, how much more can we trust in Him? His past deliverances. See, God reminds us in the Word of God this evening to remember His faithfulness in the past. That's an important truth. Remember. Sometimes it's good to write it down. Sometimes it's good to write down the miraculous answers to prayer. I would encourage you to have a diary of some kind. Men, it's not just a lady's thing to have a diary, amen? Or a journal. No, it's a man's thing. If you have some miracles that take place in your life, write them down. Why? Because as men, we're forgetful. We forget. The older we get, the more we forget. And if we don't write them down, then when we come to a time of trial and an overwhelming situation, what are we going to turn to? Well, one of the important things that God encourages us with in verse number 3 is the past. David remembered. David knew what God had done, and that was a foundational truth to encourage him in the present. Have you ever wrote down answers to prayer? Have you written down miraculous openings that God has done in your life. Maybe some are so great, I understand, you don't need to write them down. They're in the forefront of your heart and mind. Continue to encourage yourself in those truths. Husbands and wives, when your family goes through a crisis, be sure to encourage your children in God's past deliverances. Amen. If God has been faithful in the past, and we know that He never changes, amen, then we know that God will be faithful in the future. Perhaps you're facing a crisis right now. Remember the Lord. Remember His past deliverances. David was saying, "You have been a shelter, Lord. You have been a strong tower from the enemy. Lord, You have protected me like a fortress, like a fortified castle. Lord, You have been my defense. When I was afraid, when I was in fear of my life, Lord, I've been through this before. Lord, help me to remember You." David said, notice verse number 4. "I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings." Now, the tabernacle represented God's presence with His people. It was a big tent, if you will, for lack of a better description. And in that place, there was a section in that large construction called the Holy of Holies. And that's where God dwelt with His people. It represented God's presence. And David was saying in the Word of God that God was not afar off. He is a God that delights to dwell with His people. He does not watch from a distance as you and I go our own way. No, He is a God that dwells with His people. He is a God that steps into our lives and is intimate and loving. Notice the closeness of God's presence in verse number 4. "I will trust in the covert of Thy wings." Friends, what a beautiful picture of God's loving, tender care for the child of God. David describes God's personal protection over him like a bird, a winged bird pulling their young ones close to them. Now, why would a bird do that? Why would a bird, and you may have seen it before perhaps, observing God's wonderful creation, you may have seen a bird shelter its younglings under its wings, maybe you've seen a documentary. Why would a parent fowl or bird cover its younglings with its wings? Why would they do that? Because those younglings are precious to them. They are their own. And so often when you and I are overwhelmed, and you can admit it tonight, we feel alone. We think that God has abandoned us and that He has perhaps flown away and we are left without hope in this world. But friends, that could not be further from the truth. David said, "I will trust in the covert of Thy wings." That was the reality of God's personal and intimate loving kindness. That is the truth for every believer. What a picture of God's loving hand of protection. What a difference this truth would make, this verse would make, if we simply meditated on the truth of God's Word during that overwhelming moment. Perhaps you've had some overwhelming moments this past week. I encourage you to think of the Lord, to remember the Lord. Notice Psalm chapter 91 and verses 3 and 4. We'll be back in a moment, but notice Psalm 91. See, the just shall live by faith. Faith in the truth and not by sight. Psalm chapter 91. Let's read verses 3 and 4 aloud together, shall we? Psalm chapter 91, verse number 3, and then verse 4. On 2. 1, 2. "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Again, we see a wonderful picture of God. Of course, God doesn't have wings. This is just a metaphor of His loving kindness. He covers us with His wings. He shelters us. If any danger comes our way, if the fowler, that is the one who tries to trap and ensnare the younglings, he will be the one to put himself in harm's way, to deliver us from that calamity. What an amazing truth of God. that He will cover us with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. How can we appropriate this truth in our lives? Well, notice the end of verse 4. His, what's the next word? Truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth. That means as you and I spend time in the Word of God, we can face the overwhelming trials of the day. We can face those overwhelming moments because of what we know about God, if we simply remember Him. Imagine thinking about the Lord during the day and picturing the Lord as a God who shelters us under the protection of His wings. How much greater difference would that make in your life and mine if we simply did what God told us to do? We lived by faith. We chose to live by faith. You might say my present experience doesn't look like what the Bible says. Well, God allows trials into our lives, but that doesn't mean He's gone anywhere. You see, David experienced some fears. David experienced what you and I possibly would never experience back in Psalm chapter 61, but God was there. God was causing David to grow in his faith, preparing him to be the king he needed to be. You see, God's trials are our preparation for the future. But God hasn't gone anywhere. One of my favorite Christian pieces of literature, it's not exactly a poem, I read for the first time on the front of my Bible cover when I had my first Bible given to me. I bought a cover, and on the front there was a little poem named Footprints. How many of you have ever read that before? Amen. Some of you have. Let me quickly read it for you. Again, a wonderful description of God's loving care. The author wrote this: "One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me, the other belonging to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, You told me when I decided to follow You, You would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why. When I need You most, You leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." You see, the Lord does not leave nor forsake us. The Lord is more faithful than we allow our heart to believe. If we would simply allow God's truth to be our shield, what piece of the armor of God is the piece that represents our faith? The shield of faith. If we allow the Word of God to be our shield, we can live an overcoming, victorious Christian life. His Word is our shield and buckler. That's why it's so important for us to live by faith. If you and I live by sight, we will be the most discouraged Christians on this side of eternity. But if you and I choose to live like David of old, by faith, we are encouraged each day. We can say like David of old, His mercies are new to me each day. Lord, You overload my life with blessings daily. But that's the perspective of someone living by faith. You see, His past protection, His past workings. Notice verse number 5 back in Psalm 61. Psalm chapter 61, let's continue on in this wonderful psalm. Verse 5, "For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name." David remembered God's past workings. David remembered that God has answered his prayers. "Lord, You've heard my vows. You've heard what I have committed to You. Lord, You have answered those prayers." You see, the past answers to prayer were an encouragement to David. And again, have you remembered any present, have you remembered any promises that God has given to you as a Christian? Have you remembered any past answers to prayer? And that's why it's important for us to record it, because David was encouraging himself in the Lord. He was encouraging himself that, hang on a second, I feel afraid, I feel overwhelmed, and yes, that is a real feeling that we experience, but what about God? What about the past answers to prayer? Have we learned anything from God's working in our lives in the past? When was the last time you encouraged yourself in the Lord? That's what David did time and time again when he found himself in overwhelming situations. Notice what he said in verse 5 in the second half of the verse. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Now what is David saying? The heritage of those that fear thy name. Well, David was simply acknowledging that I'm not the only believer in God that ever lived. Now, sometimes you and I feel that way. I'm the only Christian on the planet. I'm the only Christian that's going through this problem. There mustn't be anyone else that is facing such an overwhelming trial as I. Well, I hope through our studies on Hebrews 11, you've been reassured by the fact that we are not alone. Amen? God has given us a heritage of faith of those who believed in His name. And David was also acknowledging that he has a heritage of faith. Do you realize, as Christians in 2016, we have the richest heritage of faith that any believer has ever had in all history up to this point? We have a greater heritage of faith than anyone has ever known. Why? Because we can look back further than anyone else can. We can look back through not only biblical history, but ancient history and modern history at the faithfulness of God to the church of God, to the people of God, to the missionaries of the past. We have such a wealth heritage of truth to be encouraged by, amen, that we so quickly forget about. Not talking about our lives, but the lives of others, those who faced trials in Hebrews 11. And God says, wherefore, seeing as we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, this great heritage of faith, let us now, in the present, run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, as we look through the Word of God in the Old Testament and the New, we are encouraged to live by faith. We see believers beaten. We see believers stoned. We see believers triumph. We see believers fail and fall. We see believers rise up in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see lots of wonderful truths, and God saying, don't miss this point. This is a heritage. This is an inheritance that we have of God. And so often we take this inheritance for granted. Let me encourage you to spend time in His Word. If God could help a believer in the past in such a wonderful way, He can help you and I too, if we are a child of God. He can lift us up. He can encourage us. He can strengthen us in our darkest moments. The heritage of faith. See, the past is important. It is. Not only did David remember God, but he remembered God's past protection. God's past protection. We need to be people that live by faith. God's past protection. Notice lastly, David remembered God's present promises. Verses 6 and 7, David said, now he transitions from looking back, now he's looking forward. Notice what he said in verse 6, thou wilt, this is what you will do, God. This is what I believe you will do. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve me. David was saying, Lord, I feel like this is the end, but I know that this is not the end. David, in looking at his circumstances, was overwhelmed, but the moment he looked to God, he was encouraged to move forward. Amen. to move past the present trial into the future because he understood God's promises to him. And friends, you and I have the exceeding precious promises of God right in our hands right now. And David remembered that God's will was not for him to die an early death. No, he was to be the king of the nation of Israel. He was to continue to build this nation. He was to continue to reunite the nation of Israel. And though his only son was trying to kill him, he knew that that wasn't the end of his life. He knew that God had promised him long years. He knew that his seed would continue for many generations. David knew that as king, he had the promises of God. And though he felt like it was the end of the world, he knew that it wasn't. He knew what God will do. Let me encourage you, Christian, when you feel like it's the end of the world, those are just your feelings. Amen? You can say amen. Those are just your feelings. We have not seen the end of the world yet. In fact, the Bible tells us you and I will not experience the end of the world. Why? Because if we are Christians, if we have received Christ as Savior, we have some wonderful, precious promises to anchor our hope in. The Bible tells us that we have a wonderful eternal home, a heavenly city that the Lord is preparing for us as His beloved children, where we will dwell with Him forever. Now, not only that, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Any moment He can come in the air and the clouds, and we will hear the trumpet sound, and we will be snatched away up to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with Him. Talk about a wonderful hope. Talk about wonderful promises of God. And not only that, He desires to reward the believer who would simply choose to live by faith. He rewards faith. Can you imagine? Faithfulness. God is even so loving and merciful that He desires to reward us. What a wonderful truth. That we can anchor our faith in the promises of God. Notice what David said in verse 7. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Mercy and truth. The Bible tells us that God's mercy and His truth is available for the child of God. And how can we overcome those overwhelming situations? By knowing God, He is merciful. By enjoying and believing in His truth. David said in Psalm chapter 23 at the end of the psalm, a psalm that's loved by many around the world, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now that's faith. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, those are the words of a man that had a personal relationship with God. He wasn't saying that, I hope I'll get there one day. I hope heaven's my home. And when I breathe my last breath, well, that's when I'll really find out. No, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And friend, if you and I are a Christian this evening, we have the promises of God. They are not a but or an if. But they are a when, amen? They are for sure. They are the concrete, unmovable promises of God. So then why are we so overwhelmed when heaven is our home? Maybe sometimes we're overwhelmed because our roots have sunk too deeply into this world. And when God rattles our life up a little bit, we try to cling on to the temporary things of the world. And then we sorrow and we're overwhelmed that our way is not working. Maybe sometimes God shakes us up and allows us to experience those unnecessary fears to cause us to look to things above and not on things of the earth, so that we may be encouraged in the eternal mercy and truth. Friend, if you and I remember God, if you and I remember God's past protection, if you and I remember God's present promises, then the result will be found in verse number 8. Notice in conclusion with me. David said, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows. Wow. What an ending. Like so many of David's psalms, at what first begins in sorrow, ends in rejoicing. Did you notice that? When my heart is overwhelmed, David said. But at the end, David said, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows. Friends, this is what happens to you and I when we choose to turn to God in our trials instead of trusting in ourselves and what we can see. That is the result. That is what took place in the heart of David the psalmist. That is what God penned for us to be encouraged with tonight. That is what will happen to you and I if we remember God, if we remember Him. If you're facing a trial this evening and your heart is overwhelmed, David was too. But he didn't stay there. Would you agree? Not at all. He didn't stay there at all. Friends, the lesson in verse number 8 at the end of the verse is this. If you and I stay in that place of discouragement, if you and I stay in that place of despair, then we cannot daily perform our vows. God cannot use us. We cannot live for the Lord if we live in a pit of discouragement. God cannot use that. We cannot run the Christian race. But thank God He is our deliverer. He is able to deliver thee. And may the Lord remind us tonight that the next time your heart and mind is overwhelmed, and it will happen as David of old, where do we start? Well, we cry out to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We remember God. Next time a fellow believer is overwhelmed, let me encourage you to point them to the Lord. Amen. They need God. They need to remember God's past blessings and protection in their life and deliverances, and then remember God's future promises. It's good for us to gather in the house of God, because as we assemble, we have a little foretaste of what it will be like in heaven. Now, I'm not talking about my message, the preaching. I'm talking about the fellowship of believers, the unity of faith, the rejoicing that we enjoy together, that Jesus Christ has saved us and we have an eternal home waiting for us. That's why God says, exhort one another in the church. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the fellowship of God's people. Friend, He is able to deliver us. And this is just one psalm out of many in the Word of God. His truth is your shield. Spend much time in the Word of God, brethren, this week. And let's allow the Lord's Word to sink down into our hearts.